Our reading for today is found in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 17. And they brought to him also infants, that he might touch them. But the disciples, when they saw it, rebuked them. But Jesus, calling them to him, said, "Suffer, little children, to come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever been in a conversation with someone and he says to your male friend, "You need to get in touch with your feminine side"? Now, I have a friend who responded to that one time, "Yeah, I'm a boxer and I'll show my male side." Now, that might be a typical male response, at least one kind of male response. What do you say to someone seriously? You just kind of go along with it, "Well, I do have a female side." My reply would be something like this. I don't have a feminine side. I'm a Christian, not a Taoist. Christians believe that God made them male, made them female. They were separate. If you're a Taoist, you believe that within everybody there is a yin-yang and a male and female side. But Christians believe that you are male or female. If you're female, you are giving, you're unselfish, according to this way of looking at things. Maybe the selfish defines what males are. If women are unselfish and giving and gentle and nurturing, are the opposites then, the yin side? Is it all of those other things? Well, no, they define it as being strength. Let me see, women delivering children, there's not strength there. So the distinctions break down. Are not these female sides really the fruits of the Spirit in Christians, respective of gender? All of those things, the gentleness, the selflessness, those are things that both men and women who are Christians, moved by the Spirit, those are the fruits of faith. Surprisingly, Scripture applies female metaphors, though, to attributes in a very striking way to men in a number of places. For example, in John's Gospel, evoking the life of the mother, remember Jesus says, "You must be born again." And the last time I checked, it wasn't men who gave birth. And Nicodemus replies, "Well, how can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born?" But Nicodemus, of course, was missing the point. That was a metaphor with a spiritual lesson. But we find this sort of motif in other places. For example, listen carefully in Paul's letter to the Galatians. You remember how he puts it? He says, "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." There's clearly a female metaphor that he picks up on. You know, giving child, to be an apostle, to preach the gospel, is like giving birth to Christians. And remember Peter in his first epistle, he put it ever so strongly when he said, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Here God's word is like mother's milk. Female attributes become vehicles of language that God wants us to see as metaphors for what his word is like in the human world in which we live and move and have our being. Peter coaxes his readers into comparing themselves to babies nursing, telling us that the Lord tastes good. And that's very clearly something that is shaped by a feminine sensibility in the metaphor. But he has spiritual nursing in mind and not actual nursing. In today's text, it was nursing mothers, by the way, most likely, who were bringing their children. In fact, that word in 1 Peter where he talks about going to the pure milk, be like newborn infants, it's the same word here, brephos, which describes nursing babies and even a baby that's within the womb. So they were very young. They could not come to Jesus. They had to be brought. And he has, of course, spiritual nursing in mind. And Jesus has also something else in mind, as today's text makes it very clear. These children's mothers knew that to come to Christ was to come to a kingdom of pure milk, a kingdom of pure spiritual milk. Jesus' disciples were displeased, though, when this happened, and they rebuked those women, most likely, who were bringing their babies to Jesus. The disciples, of course, are paradoxically confronting us with just the opposite of what they ought to be. While these women, who are not even the disciples and followers, seem to have it right, they recognize in Jesus the need for blessing. The disciples are confused about the nature of God's kingdom. That becomes clear 14 verses after our text for today. You take a look at it, and Jesus tells them, third time, I am going to Jerusalem. I must die. I will be afflicted. I must rise from the dead on the third day. He says it to them very overtly. And what does John reply in his text? But they understood none of these things, the 12. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. These are the same disciples whom Jesus had just called over to him after they had been rebuked by him, and who in a gentle way told them, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And then he clearly marks the profundity. In the Greek, he uses the word amen, amen, which means verily. It's like a mark. Take note. This is an important thing. Verily. Verily I say to you, and this is the important point, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. The disciples, of course, were apparently beyond their need for pure milk. Does that describe you and me in the way that we think sometimes? We don't need these simple things again. And here Jesus calls us to the very model that we all need, adult or child, to follow the faith. That humility that comes to Christ without anything. In fact, the infants were brought to Jesus. We are all sinners who cannot live on any other formula but the pure milk of God's word. Now, we're told that mother's milk has antibiotics in it. It has bioactive things that help a child grow. In fact, they're absolutely essential for growth. How much the more so is it the case that God's word, the gospel, those promises, are things that we need for our development, for our spiritual development and life. Yesterday we were infants, tomorrow we are dying aged. And it happens like that. How long did it take you to get to be 19 years old? Multiply times two and you're in your 60s. And we're at the end of our life. We need God because Jesus came to cause that little child within us, the child of faith, to look to him and to realize that we will be forever with the Lord because of the salvation that he worked out through his death upon the cross, through his life on our behalf. He sends us to children as our models. And of course, the Lutheran Church correctly understands that today's text continually calls us to childlike hearts of faith, but also to bring our children to him, which is why we have always framed in our liturgy the baptism of infants against this verse, because Jesus has never commanded that only adults should be brought. In fact, just as Colossians points out to us, baptism is like circumcision in the Old Testament, but there are neither males nor females, as Paul points out in Galatians. And so both males and females may be brought to this sacrament as Jesus was brought for the sacrament of circumcision on the eighth day. We bring our children to be baptized because we are helpless and God has something to give to us. He works faith in our hearts. Each day of our lives, like babies, we need to continue to be nurtured on that same milk. For the Saint Peter, who in his epistle wrote about how we need to be nurtured upon the milk of his word, reminded us that baptism also saves us. All these words, all these metaphorical pictures, these real sacraments are God's gift to his church to nourish us as God's Spirit in the gospel, which awakens the child of faith within all of us and which tells us your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace. Amen. Let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Yeah.